Stand by unless you have emergency traffic. This is WPTU 754, Whiskey Papa Tango Uniform 754. My name is Joel, Juliet Oscar Echo Lima, and I am located in Wyoming, and I will be net control this evening break. This is the Southwest Ohio GMRS Radio Net, meets every Sunday at 20:30 hours local time on the 462.675 repeater. This repeater is located in the city of Wyoming and uses a tone of 141.3 hertz. In order to access the repeater, you need to transmit with a 141.3 hertz break. All GMRS operators are welcome to check into the net this evening. All we ask that you have a valid GMRS license. You do not need a GMRS license to listen into the net, and everybody is welcome to listen. Break. This is a training net, and the purpose of this net is to encourage and facilitate good operating practices for members of the GMRS community in the Southwest Ohio, Northern Kentucky, and Southeast Indiana areas. Break. We net control this evening. This is a directed net, so all traffic should go through net control. And if you have any traffic, you will announce that when you check in. Break. As a reminder that you can also access the repeater through the Zello app on your cell phone or smart device. Are there any stations on frequency willing to take over as net control should this operator or station become unable to continue as net control this evening?
WRVR 574, Joel, I will also key track who signs in for you.
Is great. That right there lowered my blood pressure by at least 20 points, so I appreciate that. This is a training net. Actually, it is, I think, on the books as a tech net, but training of some sort or another. After check-ins, we will have some short training, and certainly we encourage everybody to ask questions, participate, and share any comments or questions they may have. We will start this evening by asking for check-ins, right? And we have check-ins from any of the Southwest Ohio GMRS officers that may be on the frequency this evening. Come now, please.
WQJW 760, Dale in Mason. No traffic for the net. I'll be listening.
WRKS 915, Unit 213, Jamie in Westchester. And I passed on everything I've got for you to bring up tonight earlier in our call, Joel. Thanks for taking the net tonight.
By to hear if Chris or Gordon are on the radio this evening. This is WPTU 754. Either of you guys on the repeater? None. 760, Dale, thank you very much for checking in, sir. And 915, Jamie, thank you for checking in. I may remember some of what you told me. If not all of it, you can certainly chime in and share it with the group. Alrighty. Is there any emergency priority or time value traffic? Any stations on the repeater with emergency priority or time value traffic, come now, please.
RQT 710. I got no priority. I just that later time.
Unit 710, short of time. Thank you very much for checking in. Please feel free to secure at your leisure. Are there any other stations on frequency with emergency priority or time value traffic, or any stations on frequency who are short of time? Come now, please. And we will move on. Break. We will start with stations in Indiana. Any Indiana stations on the net this evening, please check in now. We will do five at a time. 574 will be writing down the entire call sign. I will just be using the numerics. So go ahead with your call sign, your name, location, and whether or not you have any traffic for the net. Good. Everybody in Indiana must be snowed in. We will circle back around and pick up Indiana after the check-ins. We will now move down to Kentucky. Any Kentucky stations wishing to check into the net, please give your name, your call sign, your name, your location, and whether or not you have traffic. Come now. Hearing no stations from Kentucky, we will now move on to Ohio. Ohio stations wishing to check into the net this evening, please give your call sign, name, location, and whether you have traffic for the net this evening.
WRCU 225.
WRUL 337. Bruce, Dayton, Ohio. No traffic.
WRAR 689, Wayne and Anderson, in service with no traffic.
This is WRUE 650, Bruce and Coleraine Township, no traffic for the net.
WRZL 719, Chris, Anderson Township. No traffic toward the net. Thank you.
We'll stand by here. Control recognizes 225, 337, 689, 650, and 719. There was another station in there that was kind of scratchy, and at the beginning, it sounded like there may have been a double. So if I missed anybody, please call now. Otherwise, we will open it up for any other stations in Ohio. Go now.
WRUA 256, Billy in Loveland, no traffic for the net.
And 762, and there was a double when 762 was checking into the net. So there another station that doubled. Go ahead.
WRMY 470, Bob and Mason, no traffic for the net.
Recognize 256, 762 and 470, Bob and Mason, thank you for checking in to the net this evening. Any other stations in Ohio wishing to check in to the Sunday Night GMRS net, please come now with your call sign, name, location, and whether or not you have traffic. This is WPT754, net control.
WRYB 946, Big Matt in Sycamore Township. Nothing for the net.
WRME 229, Tim, Liberty Township. No traffic.
WQSE 341. Randy and Montgomery, just feeling pretty good that both the 574 and I passed ham exams on Saturday, but other than that, no traffic for the net.
We will hold right there. The net recognizes 75946229 and 341. Congratulations on passing your amateur radio ticket. That is great news. Let's see if there are any stations anywhere. Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, Michigan, West Virginia, Illinois, any stations anywhere wishing to check in. Actually, let's stand by one. Hang on 1 second here. Are there any stations on Zello? We will break 1 moment here and allow stations on Zello to check into the net. Any stations on Zello wishing to check in, come now, please. Always important to give a little bit of a break for the stations on Zello since there is a delay and sometimes it's difficult for them to get in. So now we would open it up for any stations, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana. If anybody wants to check into the net, please come now. We'll do five at a time.
WRXX 502, Coleraine, Chris, no traffic.
RKU 761, Mark in Hyde Park, in service, no traffic, 761.
WRWL 681, Fairfield Township, no traffic.
WRYK 640, Jim, Kentucky.
Good. Let me see if I have it here. Control recognizes 502-761-681 and 640 from the state of Kentucky. Any other stations wishing to check in before we move into announcements and training? Come now, please.
Kevin, Coleraine, WRVR 574, with traffic for later.
Recognizes 574. Very good. Let's circle back up to the top here and see if 915, Jamie, if you're in a position to give some announcements, go over some of the stuff we talked about. If not, then I will go over some of the stuff we discussed earlier today, but we will turn it over to you to enlighten the group. This is Net Control, WPT754.
Joel, unfortunately, I'm in a position when I where to not, if you don't mind taking care of that for me. And if there's anything that you need clarification on, just call back on me. WRKS Alpha.
Good. I will do my best. So, welcome to 2024. So far, we have 118 operators who have joined the Southwest Ohio GMRS community, and we appreciate your participation in the organization. Right? Certainly, the winter time, especially when the weather's outside is cold like it is today, does put a damper on our ability to do some of the projects that we're currently working on, but there are other indoor projects that we are working on as well. Break. We are continuing to move forward with our efforts at the Christ Hospital, which is the location of the South Repeater, to install new antennas for not only the GMRS machine, but we have a number of amateur radio assets at that location, so we are in the process of partnering with our amateur radio community to update all of the equipment at that location. For those of you who are not familiar with the GMRS, excuse me, with the amateur equipment break, there is a 900 megahertz machine. There is a 224.060 machine up there. There is also some other equipment. We have VHF and UHF equipment that we are moving into that location, so please stay tuned for updates on that location. Break. There are some updates that need to be made at the east location, and I think there are some antenna issues, if I'm not mistaken. So we're in the process of working on that. Needless to say, it is very difficult to do when it's cold, not to mention the fact that, as everybody knows, we talk about this all the time, we all kind of try to find time to squeeze this in between our regular Monday through Friday 9 to 5 jobs, such as it is. Break. Unfortunately, I was not able to make it to the holiday party, however, that did count as our fourth quarter board meeting for the organization. The next board meeting will be scheduled sometime in the next couple of months. We have them quarterly, so as soon as we have more information on date, time, and location, we will bring that to the organization. Break. And since I mentioned, excuse me, paying dues, we have been looking at our current dues structure. We did understand that it is difficult if somebody, for example, wants to join the organization in November and they're faced with paying dues that are only good for a month or two, having to repay at the beginning of the year. It does create a bit of a bookkeeping conundrum for the treasurer to roll over. So while we have not come up with a definite solution for that problem, we have heard from members, and we are certainly taking that into account. Break. I know Kevin 574 had some traffic for the net. Do you want to go ahead with your traffic, Kevin? Please go now.
Joe, I will. I've kept track of all the logins. I will email that to Jamie when the net is over. Other than that, didn't know if you had thought about setting a date in stone yet for the Stop the Bleed class I would like to attend. Unfortunately, I think I got to have like at least a month and a half notice to be able to make sure that I can be there, because I would like to be there for that. And I have pretty much got at least one whole kit together that I carry myself personally in my truck to use as an exam. Most of it which can be played with, some of it can be open though.
Very good. Kevin, thank you once again for keeping track of all the check-ins and sending that to Jamie. It's good to know that you need about 6 weeks advance notice so you can attend. Now that it's the first of the year, I can look at my schedule, and I don't have anything set in stone, but we will throw out some dates maybe at the next NET, and maybe look for a date possibly at the beginning of March break. Brings us to our training opportunities this evening. So for some of you, this NET is a new experience. We have actually been doing a NET on the 675 repeater for about four years now. And in the old days, we always had some training. Sometimes it was short, sometimes it was long. And usually we try to make it pertinent and relevant. Sometimes it is related to the radio, and sometimes it's related to other stuff. So we do have a little bit of training, not very much tonight, but just a few things that we'll go through if you will indulge me. Break. You know, we live in a community that experiences lots of different types of weather. In the spring, we oftentimes talk about tornadoes. We are all participating in this this communication community for a number of different reasons. Whether you're a prepper or a family member or a public safety worker or just a homeowner, someone who's just looking to participate in the hobby, or whether you're interested in doing some sort of public service, this radio is a great opportunity to do so, right? Yes, we've talked about some of the FEMA courses that are available, and we're not going to talk about those this evening, but those kinds of things certainly add to the radio experience, so it does. I encourage everybody to continue to expand their horizons by looking at some of those courses, right? I'm going to mention a few things related to the weather. I'll be presenting some data, the information that comes from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, from the National Weather Service, and some information from the American College of Surgeons Committee on Trauma. We'll just touch on a couple of points very quickly here for home safety, car safety, personal safety, and then we'll talk about some medical emergencies that can happen during this weather break. Feel free to chime in with questions and comments if you have experience or opportunities to share with us things that you may be doing. That's great. We do encourage everybody's participation. Break. So I was watching the news before signing on to the NET this evening. There is an apartment building in Coleraine that they reported does not have heat, and what they showed was a lot of portable space heaters being brought into the space. And as we all know, those can present some hazards during cold weather break. If you're going to use an electric space heater, make sure you use a new one with an automatic shutoff switch and with non-glowing elements. And make sure you keep those away from flammable materials like curtains and blankets. Break. Fireplace or wood stove or other combustion heater, only use those if they are properly vented to the outside and do not leak gas from the flue or the exhaust into an indoor space. That is a huge risk factor for carbon monoxide poisoning. Reminder never to place your space heater on top of furniture or where it can fall into water and cause an electrical hazard. And never leave children unattended near space heaters. Make sure the cord of the electric space heater is not a tripping hazard and should be safely routed. You have generators, a lot of us do. Generators should be located at least 20 feet from any windows, doors, or vents, and in a space where they are protected from the elements. Break.
And everybody should have a carbon monoxide detector installed, battery-operated carbon monoxide detector, where it can be easily heard by all members of the family. Never use generators, gas, or charcoal grills, camp stoves, or similar devices inside the home or basement, even if you have it near a window. It is not properly vented and can cause carbon monoxide poisoning. We get a number of those every year that our first responders have to respond to. There's some things you can do to help conserve heat. Avoid unnecessarily opening and closing doors. If you have curtains or blinds, keep those pulled. And if you have gaps underneath your door, you can put a towel or something underneath there to block some of the airflow that's coming in and out. Break. An important recommendation or comment relative to our more vulnerable members of our family. If you have a baby, remove any pillows or other soft bedding from where the baby is sleeping. These can cause an increased risk of sudden infant death syndrome. So we have long since moved away from putting babies in cribs with pillows and soft bedding. Break. This is WPT754. Is there a station trying to get into the net? Come now, please. If you have small children, small babies in the house, the correct thing to do is to dress them in very warm clothing, like footed pajamas or one-piece wearable blankets or sleep sacks, and then try to maintain a warm temperature inside the home as best you can. Do not put the baby in a cold room. The same thing is true for our elderly family members. Break. Elderly adults often make less body heat because of a slower metabolism. And the inability to regulate blood vessel tone. Therefore, they are particularly vulnerable to hypothermia during cold weather. Right? Right. Any questions, comments, criticisms on any of that information before we move on to the next topic, which will be equally brief?
574 net control.
Go ahead, sir.
One thing to add with the space heaters, especially the ceramic ones, but be wise to do it to all of them, but the ceramic ones especially, make sure they're no closer than 5 foot to you. I have at least two or three patients every single year where I had to treat second degree partial thickness to full thickness burns because it burned them in their sleep and they don't wake up. It will cook your leg pretty good.
Thank you very much for that. That is great advice. And I was going to mention something about that as we talk a little bit about frostbite. Not only should you not sleep with those close to your to you, but you also do not want to use dry heat like that to warm an extremity if you are suffering from frostbite or a non-freezing injury. That is not the correct way to warm up. So the dry heaters, like you'd mentioned, can generate a lot of thermal energy and can actually cause burns. So thank you very much for that. Any other comments before we move on? I'm going to talk briefly about hypothermia. Hypothermia is a medical condition defined as a core body temperature that is below 95 degrees Fahrenheit or 35 degrees Celsius, and that is in the absence of any other sort of concomitant traumatic injury. Hypothermia can be reclassified if a patient suffers some sort of a traumatic injury. And the degree of hypothermia really depends on the core body temperature. For
example, you can have mild hypothermia, moderate, or severe hypothermia. And it can also be staged clinically, which is actually probably a better way to do that because it is very difficult to measure core body temperature break. You have to get into a deep space cavity, and you have to have a temperature thermometer that actually can record low temperatures. So there are other ways to measure or to get some insight into somebody's degree of hypothermia break. Acute hypothermia occurs when there's rapid and sudden exposure, like immersion in water, in an avalanche, certainly if you're outside for an extended period of time. In this kind of weather, you can lose body temperature very quickly, and you can become hypothermic in a very short period of time. Break. Acute hypothermia is accompanied by a number of other factors in concert with a depletion of the body's energy reserves. And there's also subchronic hypothermia, which occurs from prolonged exposure to slight cold, especially in patients who have inadequate ability to regulate their body temperature. Break. I mentioned earlier, older dogs are particularly susceptible to hypothermia because they have an impaired ability to increase heat production and decrease heat loss with vasoconstriction. In the U.S., about 50% of deaths due to hypothermia occur in adults over the age of 65. Right? Children are also more susceptible because of their relatively increased body surface area, so they lose energy or lose heat much more quickly. So, again, goes back to taking care of our more vulnerable members of our community. Break. Look at clinical signs of hypothermia. Stage one is the patient who is shivering. Those are typically patients who have body temperature that is below 95 in the 90 to 95 degree range. And the treatment for that is just simply move the patient into a warm environment, remove any wet clothing or cold clothing to provide warm drinks, and if the patient can be ambulatory or up and walking, that is helpful. That is for the earliest stages of hypothermia break. Stage two is a little bit more severe. Those patients have impaired consciousness and they may not be shivering. So if you have a patient or a family member or a friend or if you notice an elderly person, someone outside as you're walking to and from your car to the store that is in some distress and they have impaired level of consciousness, not having any signs of shivering, that is a much more dangerous situation. And those people can be at increased risk for cardiac events. We all know that that increasing your activity in the cold weather certainly increases your risk for heart attack. Break. Stage three and stage four, by far the most severe. Stage three is an unconscious patient, not shivering, but they still have vital signs. You can still feel a pulse. And those patients need immediate medical attention, and we often do active warming if they are transported to the emergency department. And then stage four is a patient who has no vital signs and a body temperature that is significantly low, less than 75 degrees Fahrenheit. There is a saying, those of you who are in the medical business may be able to chime in here with a saying that is all familiar to all of us. If you know what that saying is, go ahead and share it with us now. Saying is, you're not dead until you're warm and dead. So the idea is to warm those patients pretty aggressively and get their body temperatures back up into the normal range before you move on. Any questions or comments on that section before we move into the very end here? Good. We'll talk briefly about cold injury and local tissue effects. There are typically two different types of cold injury that we are all familiar with. One is frostbite, and the other is referred to as a non-freezing injury. And there are several different degrees of frostbite. We'll go through those quickly so you can recognize them and know how to treat them, right? It's important to realize that some of the dish tissue damage that comes from frostbite does not necessarily occur during the freezing process, but can actually occur during the thawing or rewarming process. So it is very important to rewarm individuals very carefully. Break. First degree frostbite, you get what's called hyperemia, or the tissue becomes red and swollen, but there is no breakdown of the skin, no tissue necrosis, and those people with first degree frostbite, that's what you're going to see very frequently. That's, you know, you go out to get the mail, feed the birds, walk the dog, you don't wear a pair of gloves, and you come in and your hands are red and a little swollen and they hurt. That may be first degree frostbite, break. First degree frostbite is large, clear vesicular formation that accompanies the redness. and that's associated with partial thickness skin damage. If you see big vesicles or blisters, that is evidence of second degree frostbite, break. Third degree frostbite is full thickness tissue necrosis, and those are can be associated with sort of like blood blister, what are called hemorrhagic vesicles, and then fourth degree frostbite is full thickness skin necrosis, including the muscle, the bone, and later those patients end up with necrosis. Those are the digits that you see that turn black and frequently need to be amputated, break. Freezing injury is also common, probably more common. It's due to changes in the vascular, in the skin, the vessels close to the skin as a result of some vascular occlusion and stasis. You can get some damage. And examples of this are trench foot, which can happen with the cold immersion in wet, in like a creek or a body of water. We also see this in patients who are homeless. Right? Of important things to remember about treating hypothermic injuries. The goal of management is to not make anything worse. So the first thing you want to do, if you find somebody who is suffering from hypothermia, and if they have either non-freezing injury or frostbite, is to remove them from the cold. That seems pretty self-explanatory, but you'd be surprised, Greg. Not want to attempt rewarming if there's a risk of refreezing, because it's the freeze-thaw cycle that can actually cause problems. Most of the warming we do is going to be passive warming. You want to remove any damp clothing, cover the patient with warm blankets, give them hot fluids by mouth, and if you can, you can place the injured part in a pool of warm water that is no more than 40 degrees Celsius or 104 degrees Fahrenheit, right? As we mentioned earlier, you do not want to warm these with the an electric heater, a hair dryer, or anything like that where you have no control over the temperature. You want to rewarm slowly, and it may actually take 20 to 30 minutes to warm up the tissue, and oftentimes this is associated with quite a bit of discomfort, so just be aware of that. We will stop there. We covered a bunch of stuff, a little bit of some
tips for keeping yourself safe. There are also lots of literature out there about things to do, how to prepare if you're out in the cold weather, what kind of kits you may have in your car, and I'm sure there may be some people on here who would be willing to share what type of equipment they carry with them in case they get stranded. You know, there's a lot of stuff you see on the news where people are traveling, they're trying to get from point A to point B, it's a significant accident, the road shut down, next thing you know, you are stuck for several hours in bad weather. I was involved in one of these 100-car pileups when I was driving back from New York with my family a couple years ago, and there was a whiteout. There were about 100 vehicles spread out over several miles that were involved, a lot of semis, and we ended up sitting on the side of the road for about 8 hours before we could finally get moving again. Fortunately, we had a full tank of gas, and we had been skiing, so everybody had warm clothes, and we had water bottles and food and that kind of stuff. I will stop here and open it up if anybody has any questions or comments. This is WPTU 754, Net Control for the Southwest Ohio GMRS Network.
Net Command. Yeah, I always keep one extra day of medications and a little Medi-Set. Obviously, like a Carhartt upper and lower type of overalls and coat in case what I'm wearing is not warm enough. About a half a dozen water bottles that are half full, not completely full, because remember, if it freezes, water expands, so keep the bottles half full. And peanuts, protein, of course, always a charged radio with an extra battery, hand warmers, signaling devices, med kit and blowout kit. Back to Net Control.
Excellent recommendations. I wear a whistle around my neck. I have for years, and a whistle is a great way to get attention. If you're outside and you fall, if you see somebody getting ready to run out into traffic, whatever the circumstances are, if you need a taxi and you're in New York City, wearing a whistle is a really great way to signal people. If you are outside and you fall or something happens, and it's a great way to get people's attention. So, anybody else? Well, actually, let's break for a second here and see if there are any other late check-ins for the Southwest Ohio GMRS Net. Go now, please. Any other stations with any comments or anything else they would like to share with Net Control or the other members of the group? Come now, please. I'm calling, hard to copy, but try it again, please. You have, sounds like some sort of whine on your signal.
574 Net Command. Only other thing I got, Net Command, is, member dues. We'd like to see everybody come back that was a member in 2023. And Kroger cards. If you have a Kroger card, you go to Kroger and you are not signed up to have your, I think Jamie could explain this better. Essentially, if you have a Kroger card, you go to Kroger, and we are an option, Southwest Ohio GMRS Association, so when you shop at Kroger, if your card is linked to our association, does not increase your cost at all. We get a cut of that, and every little bit helps. That's how the club buys these antennas that need replacing and things of that nature. And anybody that has one, I can help them if they just reach out. Back to Net Command.
Very
much for sharing that. A good reminder. Also, I signed up to be net control this evening by going to the website, and you can actually log into net operations, or you click on net operations, and it gives you a calendar, and you can very easily click on a date, and you can be net control for the evening. It's easy, and some of us find it enjoyable. Others may find it intimidating. If you find it intimidating, all the more reason to do it, because the more times you do it, the more fun you're going to have with it, Break. Tonight's net was maybe a little bit of a departure from what we have done in the past, but I think at least once a month it's a good idea to have some training, whether it's medical training, training on net operations, emergency preparedness and disaster planning, whatever it is. If somebody has an agenda and they would like to share it with the group, a great opportunity to do that is to sign up to be net control. There is nobody telling you what you do or don't have to talk about or what you can or cannot do. If you're net control, you kind of run the show, Break. Ready, one last call for check-ins and or any comments or participation from members of the net. And if we hear none, then we will move on towards closing the net this evening. This is WPT 754 for ID. Go ahead, sir.
Again, thanks for taking the net tonight and taking the training topic. If you would just speak what we've spoke about, some participation. We got a pretty diverse group of folks and could always use some help in different things that people's got some expertise in, and one of those obviously is net control operators, but just follow up on our conversation we had earlier.
Absolutely. So, you know, the currently we have 118 different, we have 118 operators who are members of the organization, 52 weeks, so in a year. So you really would just have to take net control once every other year to be able to participate. And this is not only true with net control. A lot of the stuff we do, we're moving equipment around, and periodically we need help with other tasks related to the organization, Break. Jimmy said everybody's an expert on something. Everybody's got some content that they feel comfortable sharing. And what strengthens the organization is when we pull on the collective the collective wisdom of everybody who's part of the organization. And if everybody shares a little bit each week or every other week, it will really strengthen the organization, Break. Also, other opportunities, like we had mentioned, like I had mentioned earlier, doing some of the FEMA classes, getting your 100, 200, 700, and 800. If we want to participate in some of the activities at the Regional Operations Center or some other emergency preparedness activities, having 100, 200, 700, and 800 is pretty much a requirement, Break. Where I work at the hospital, I work in a lot of different places, fire department, hospital, et cetera. But in the hospital, in order to participate in the emergency operations center, you have to have 100, 200, 700, 800. These are not radio operators. This has nothing to do with being a radio operator. These are nurses and staff members and technicians who need to understand the incident command system in order to be able to communicate with a common language. So we encourage everybody to do that. Days like this, when it's 11 degrees outside, is a perfect opportunity to click on the FEMA website and do some training, Break.
This is 650 with a comment.
Yes, sir.
Not to cut you short on what you're talking about, but as an instructor for ODNR, one of the things that could be added to, it's mostly dealing with being lost in the woods or what have you, but it's the term STOP. I guess stands for stop, think, observe, and plan. I think that's good in all situations.
stop, think, observe, and plan. That is a great mnemonic and certainly applicable in probably every situation. Thank you for bringing that to the group. Any other comments from members of the organization? Again, we really appreciate everybody's participation. We love it when people jump in here and make comments. It does make the evening much more interesting.
Starting to feel like a ball hog. If anybody signs up to be net command and for some reason they something came up and they can't do it, or even if like what you and I are doing now where you're net command but I'm keeping track of everything, I'll email it to Jamie. I just can't sign up for net command that far in advance because of my on-call schedule. I don't know it and what I do for a living, but if you wasn't going to do net command tonight, Joel, just as an example, I was prepared to do it. I was actually getting ready to get on the air right before you got on. So I'm always willing to do it as long as I'm not on call and don't have something else going on, which usually on call is only an issue for me. So if I'm not on call, I can always do net command, but I don't want to sign up for it all the time because, as everybody else officer-wise yourself has been saying, everybody needs to kind of like everybody needs to sign up and do it. I have a preamble that's pretty well much identical to the one that's on our shared drive, except I put in break and things of that nature that I'm willing to email to anybody, and if you go by this, you read it word for word. It's also structured for taking call-ins. It's easy. And you do it once, after that, it's cake. Back to net command.
Very good. So, ditto, when I am on call or otherwise unavailable, I certainly cannot do net control. I can barely have an opportunity to log into the net. All of us have constraints on our time, but all the more reason to encourage everybody, if you have an opportunity and you think you're going to be a free on a Sunday evening, please sign up to take net control. There's nothing magical about it. It doesn't require anything other than a radio, and if somebody's willing to copy down the calls, it doesn't even take a piece of paper and a pencil, so pretty much I'm sitting here just with the radio doing net control. So very good. I appreciate everybody's participation. I'll call one last time here for check-in, see if anybody else wants to check in before we close the net. I would like to thank everybody who participated in the net this evening, those people who brought traffic, those people who shared their comments, and those people who just sat by and listened. Hopefully some people sat by and listened. There's no way to tell. It's not like giving a lecture in a lecture hall where you can see people get up and walk out of the room. I can always tell when I'm giving a lecture and it's not going well. People start walking out of the room. So at least on the radio, you can't see that. So we'll make an assumption that most people stuck around for this. If you have issues or don't like the training portion of it or want to do something differently, please feel free to let me know because I'm on the repeater all the time. So with that, break. Close this session of the Southwest Ohio GMRS Net, and we will return the repeater to normal, customary GMRS radio use. Have a very good evening, and try to stay warm and be safe. This is WPTU 754 clear.
I will be tallying all of the check-ins and be emailing this to Jamie here within the next 15, 20 minutes for you. Have a good evening. WRVR 574.
For your help this evening, my informal count in my head was somewhere like 19 or 20 check-ins. So a good group of people showed up tonight. We appreciate it. Thank you for stepping up to take net control and for keeping track. It makes it a lot easier. WPTU 754 clear.
Copy that, 754. There was a total of 22 check-ins altogether, counting yourself and myself. WRVR 574, clear.
WRUL 337, clear.